the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. The book of Revelation. And remember that Revelation is but a revelation of what God's decrees are, what God has purposed. And in that sense, the very book itself might be understood as the book of God's decrees with regard to his purposes for his church, with regard to the adversity that she might meet with and would meet with, and also with regard to her ultimate success and overcoming until the end of time and the opening of that book may either be thought of as the giving off the revelation itself, as we have it written here in this book of Revelation, but may further be considered as being the actual unfolding of the decree and the implementing of it in God's works of providence. And who indeed on earth would be worthy to open such a book? No man in heaven nor on earth, not Isaiah, not Daniel, not Job, not Moses, none of the redeemed in heaven, no, not any of those alive on earth, John himself included at that time, had sufficient dignity belonging to their persons that they would be worthy to open the book of Revelation, the book, or we may call it, of God's purposes to his church, contained in his decrees, by way of the revelation of it, and by way of the unfolding of it in his providence. Well, we read that John wept much, the fourth verse of chapter 5, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And then he was shown a lamb as it had been slain, coming and taking the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And they sang a song who were around him, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And that is just a figurative representation of what we had and mentioned as in the first verse, that God gave it unto Jesus Christ. He was worthy, and he alone is worthy, to proclaim to the church in the days of John, and ever after to actually implement the decrees of God and the outworking of it in providence. He alone is worthy, but he is worthy, and it is because of his worthiness, as the Lamb slain, that we have this book of Revelation before us, and what we and that we have, moreover, the actual unfolding of the events prophesied in taking place in the history of the world. And therefore the opening of the seals, which are mentioned in this sixth chapter, is the gradual revelation of what is contained in the decree of God, the purpose of God toward his church, and also with regard to the actual implementation, if we may use that word, of that decree in the events of providence. They are all in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, in coming to consider the meaning, as the Lord would enable us, of this sixth seal, this sixth revelation and aspect of the purposes of God, trumpets are later in time followed by the seven vials poured out. But there are others who are of the view that the chronological order is not strictly to be adhered to, and that in fact the very same period of time and cycle of time is described in three different ways under the description of the seals, and under the description of the trumpets, and under the description of the vials. Three different views of the same period of time. Well, regardless of which of these is true, we believe that in the words of our text here, we will not be straying from the analogy of the faith, from the teaching of Scripture elsewhere, if we consider that this great day of wrath may be considered as embracing both events which may take place at certain periods of time while the world endures, but as ultimately finding its fulfillment in the great day of judgment. That is true of many prophecies, that they have a successive fulfillment. provision of God for perishing sinners. God shall provide himself a lamb indeed, who is God himself, the Lamb of God, the Lamb who is God as to his personality. He is God, the second person, the Son of God, the eternally begotten Son of the Father, the second person of the Trinity, his equal, of the same substance with the Father, of the same eternity with the Father. And he, in order that he might be the Lamb, in order that he might have sin imputed to him, in order that he might die, in the room of sinners, took a nature which he might suffer, a nature in which he might die. The divine nature cannot suffer. The divine nature cannot obey. disciples know, he said, as also my persecutors done me. Christ knew what was done to his people by way of persecution was done to himself. And that, friend, provokes the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb to avenge in due time those who will remain impenitent as persecutors. And it has been noted, and again, those especially who take a historical assessment of this book refer the great day of wrath in the context here to the time when the pagan Roman Empire came to have a great seismic change in it, when round about 300 AD an emperor arose, a wonderful way in providence to the rule of the Roman Empire, who was himself Christian, the Emperor Constantine. And his coming to that position, which brought with it the protection and establishment of the Christian religion and the destruction of their persecutors, was such a radical change in that known part of the civilized world that it may well be described as what is brought out here in figurative language. Verse 12, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. And without entering into the detail of what each of these might symbolize, suffice to say that a radical change, a destructive change, came upon that heathen pagan world, so that in one sense the world has never returned to what it was by way of heathen darkness and pagan cruelty in a widespread basis, as it was at that stage in the history of the church. And history, secular history, records the awful judgments on many of those who were chief persecutors at the time. Some who, not only in judgments on them outwardly, but in terrors of conscience inwardly, were forced to acknowledge that Christ was God, the Christ of the Christians was the true God. But however that is referred to here or not, the reality is that at the day of judgment, those who were great persecutors of the church will face the wrath of the Lamb. Therefore, kings, be wise, be taught, ye judges of the earth. Serve God with fear, and see that ye join trembling with your mouth. Kiss ye the Son, let